나랑 자유 나라 드럼 데이 임사로서 대하성 뜻도 자유무디에이지
Thank you, Lord Krishna.
Breaking up. Is that just me?
While the Lord was
departing from the palace of his father, different types of drums like mridanga, dol, nagra, dunduri, dundubi, and flutes of different types, the veena, gomukha, and berry all sounded together to show him honor. Text 16. Prashada shika rarudha.
Prashada shika rarudha.
Guru naryol didikshaya.
Guru naryol didikshaya.
Vavrishu kushumai krishnam.
Vavrishu kushumai krishnam.
Prema vrida smitekshana.
Prema vrida smitekshana.
Somebody chant, I'm answering. Hello? Yeah, yeah, everything's good. I'm on the phone. I'm on Skype.
Prasada
shikararuda.
Prasada shikararuda.
Guru naryo
didrikshaya.
Guru Naryo
Didrikshaya.
Go ahead. Alright, you're doing it, keep doing it.
Okay. Vavrishu Kushumai Krishnam.
Vavrishu Kushumai Krishnam.
Prema Vrida Smritekshana.
Prema Vrida Smritekshana.
Prashada Shikara Ruda.
Prashada
Shikara Ruda.
Guru Naro Didrikshaya.
Guru
Naro Didrikshaya.
Vavrishu Kushumai Krishnam.
Vavrishu Kushumai Krishnam.
Avrida Smitekshana.
Prema Vrida Smitekshana.
Prasada Shikshara Raruda.
Prasada Shikshara Raruda.
Kuro Naya Jidikshaya.
Kuro Naya Jidikshaya.
Vavrishu Kusumai Krishnam.
Vavrishu Kusumai Krishnam.
Prema Vrida Smitekshana.
Prema Vrida Smitekshana.
Somebody else going?
Krishna. Go ahead, Prabhu.
Krishna.
Prasada
Shikara Rudha.
Guru Naryo Didrikshaya.
Guru Naryo Didrikshaya.
Vavrishu Kusumai Krishnam.
Vavrishu Kusumai Krishnam.
Prema Vrida Smitekshana.
Prema
Vrida Smitekshana.
Prashada Shikara Rudra.
Prasada Sikararuda
Guru Nariyo Didrikshaya
Guru Nariyo Didrikshaya
Vavrishu Kushamai Krishnam
Vavrishu Kushamai Krishnam
Prema Vrida Smitekshana
Prema Vrida Smitekshana
Prasada
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 Palace
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 Shika
Shika
The roof
The roof
The roof
Arudha
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 Ascending
Ascending
Kurunarya
Kurunarya
The ladies of Kuru royalty
The ladies of Kuru royalty
Didikshaya
Didikshaya
Seeing. Vavrishu.
Vavrishu.
Showered.
Kushamai.
Kushamai.
By flowers. Krishnam.
Upon Lord Krishna.
Prema.
Out of affection and love.
Vrida smita ikshana. Glancing with shy smiles.
So if everybody could go ahead and mute at this time.
I should mute too, but I'll...
Translation. Out of a loving desire to see the Lord, the royal ladies of the Kurus got up on top of the palace and, smiling with affection and shyness, they showered flowers upon the Lord. Purport. Shyness is the particular extra natural beauty of the fair sex, and it commands respect from the opposite sex. The custom was observed even during the days of the Mahabharata more than 5,000 years ago. It is only the less intelligent persons, not well versed in the history of the world, who say that observance of separation of female from male is an introduction of the Mohammedan period in India. This incident from the Mahabharata proves definitely that the ladies of the palace observe strict parda, restricted association with men, and instead of coming down in the open air where Lord Krishna and others were assembled, the ladies of the palace went up on the top of the palace and from there paid their respects to Lord Krishna by showers of flowers. It is definitely stated here that the ladies were smiling there on the top of the palace, checked by shyness. This shyness is a gift of nature to the fair sex. It enhances their beauty and prestige, even if they are of a less important family or even if they are less attractive. We have practical experience of this fact. A sweeper woman commanded the respect of many respectable gentlemen simply by manifesting a lady's shyness. Half-naked ladies in the street do not command any respect, but a shy sweeper's wife commands respect from all. Human civilization, as conceived of by the sages of India, is to help one free himself from the clutches of illusion. The material beauty of a woman is an illusion because actually the body is made of earth, water, fire, air, etc. But because there is the association of the living spark with matter, it appears to be beautiful. No one is attracted by an earthen doll, even if it is the most perfectly prepared. It is most perfectly prepared to attract the attention of others. The dead body has no beauty because no one will accept the dead body of a so-called beautiful woman. Therefore, the conclusion is that the spirit spark is beautiful, and because of the soul's beauty, one is attracted by the beauty of the outward body. The Vedic wisdom, therefore, forbids us to be attracted by false beauty. But because we are now in the darkness of ignorance, the Vedic civilization allows very restricted mixing of woman and man. They say that the woman is considered to be fire and the man considered to be butter. The butter must melt in association with fire, therefore, they may be brought together only when it is necessary, and shyness is a check to unrestricted mixing. It is nature's gift, and it must be utilized. Om Agyana Tumarandasya Agyana Janaswakaya Chakunamaitan Yenitas Maishigarve Namaha. Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Imabuddhi Bhicca Visindaraya Trasmaya Mahaprema Sapadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Udama Dhamanaka Dhamagana Virama Rama Rama Virama Gahita Nama Karunya Dhamma Kanaka Udvala Gaura Dhana Chaitanya Dhamma Paramam Kalayami Dhamma. So the first verse 15 dealt with, is quite interesting in itself, although there's no purport about the auspicious sounds of the conch shells, which weren't mentioned in the translation for some reason, and the brass band, which also doesn't seem to be mentioned, but we know that Prabhupada referred to his little drum that we call it a bongo. Sometimes Prabhupada referred to it as a dundubi, because it's like a little drum. Also, I think the dundubi is a drum that is played by Lord Shiva. The dun, no, that's the other one, the dundu. There's several mentioned here. One is the dundur, dundu by other different types of drums. It says dundubi, dunduri. But there's a drum that Lord Shiva beats also, a little like thing at the end of it, bing, 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 when he's destroying things. It's one of these drums also. So Madanga, we all know, Bhaje, Madanga, Bhaje, very sweet sounding. So it says sweet sounding drum. Shankar Bhaje in the song, we hear that Bhaktivinoda's describing the arti for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Interesting enough, the brass band, we see them in Mayapur, in different parts of India. They come sometimes, the temple hires them, and they play very loudly and strongly. It's not always so sweet, but it is kind of very auspicious. There was a time when we had Chennai players at the gate in Mayapur, and Prabhupada liked that also very much. It was specific, I think his name was Bishmal Khan. There was a tape that we would play also in the morning and evening in Mayapur. They may still play special ragas that are played in the morning. So all these things were known, and of course, in those days.
But Prabhupada liked it very much. He said that the sound of the Chennai with the drum was the sound of the gates of Vaikuntha. He said one time, this is what you'll hear, you know, when you go to Vaikuntha. So it was very nice. And the flute, Krishna's playing so many types of flutes. I'm sure others play different flutes also. Veena. I'm not sure. The Gomukha has something to do with the mouth of the cow. It's an instrument shaped like that. All these things were going on. This is the background music. And then the next verse where we find the purport. Prasada Shikara Rudha. We're familiar with some of these words. Shikara, Prasada, the palace. Not the same as Prasadam. It's a different pronunciation. But it means palace. Arudya. Arudra means descending. We know about the Yoga Rudra. Yoga Rudras Tarochite in the 6th chapter of the Gita. It's described the ladder of yoga. That when one first comes to the ladder of yoga, work is said to be the means. But later on, he doesn't require work as ordinary work at all. And he discards that ladder. He reaches the Yogarudostarochite, he ascends the ladder of yoga. And we try to describe that to people so they can understand. Sometimes if we say yoga is like a ladder, you know, it's easy to understand. There's this yoga. And we finally come to bhakti, bhaktyamam, at the end of that chapter. Yoginam api sarvesham, the highest yoga is given, the goal reaching the ladder. So we know what that means, ascending. Naryo Naras, the Narya, the ladies. And so this specifically talking about the ladies that they go on the roof of the palace. Prabhupada spends the purport talking about shyness of the lady and mentions also the sweeper lady. He specifically said that one time, on several occasions, we know sweepers are almost the lowest class persons. Of course, there's people who don't have any engagement or anything. They're living sweeper bungies. Or there's another word. Well, bungies are the ones who clean the toilets, but the sweepers have another word. Also, sometimes they call bungie. It depends what they sweep, if it's a toilet. But the several times Prabhupada mentioned how he and his friend would be speaking in Calcutta or sometimes Bombay, and the sweeper lady wouldn't come in front of them, you know, with their head covered. They would. So this is what Prabhupada was referring to, that although she's a sweeper, but she's commanding some respect because she's very shy, she won't come in front. She doesn't blast them. You know, she knows that they're gentlemen and she's a sweeper. This is an important thing in India, that people don't, anything can happen to you, you know. We won't talk about it, but people are kept like that. But so the sweeper lady, she's considered shy. What to speak of these ladies of the Kuru dynasty, Prabhupada said his own mother, she would only come out in a palanquin. Sometimes Prabhupada referred to the words a Surya Darsha, Darshi or something, that the sun doesn't even see these ladies. Of course they get some sun, but if you go to in Jaipur especially, there's something called the Wamahal, which means the wind palace. And there, it's a famous tourist place, but it's practically just a facade where the ladies could go up on there and look down at the main street in Jaipur and see what was going on with the kings. Over so many hundred years, it's not that ancient, but it's within 300-400 years old. So this was going on. The king's ladies, the various queens, and the members of the family, all the females, they would go up in this particular spot where the Wamahal is. It's probably one of the more famous places in Jaipur, if not the most. If you see any book on Rajasthan, they'll always show the Wamahal. They'll show Pushkar Lake. They'll show the city palace and Amir and different places like that, famous places. But that place is always going to be there, and it's just it was connected somehow with the city palace. But when there was a big thing going on in the streets of Jaipur, the ladies could get in there and see without them necessarily being seen. And we find that throughout Mahabharata, throughout the stories in the Bhagavatam, the ladies are always up there and they're watching. So they're not down mingling with everybody. Sometimes it's mentioned the prostitutes greeted Krishna and Dwarka and they came down the street, but they're considered prostitutes, not respectable ladies, but a little less respectable. I mean, they had to flirt. They had to, just like that Pingala, Ashahi Paramam, Dukam Nirasha Paramam Sukam. One of the gurus, one of our 28 gurus that are mentioned in 11th canto, Krishna is telling a story in Uddhava Gita. He's quoting another story about an avadut who was talking about the guru, various gurus, and one of them was that prostitute Pingala. She was actually in the street trying to attract, and finally, when she couldn't attract, she gave the lesson, which was Asha hi paramam dukam, that asha, desire, material desire leads to misery, dukam. Nira, asha hi, nirasha, when you don't have the desire, that leads to happiness. Nirasha paramam sukam, the greatest happiness. Chajada durjana samsari, one has to give up all relation with things that cause unhappiness. That means with material desires, materialistic persons, somehow or other, always make association with devotees, always try to be in the kirtan, always be taking some shlokas, chanting japa, somehow or other keep ourselves above the modes of nature.
Otherwise, immediately Maya will call us, and whether it's in the form or directly of a prostitute or somehow, but it's illusory energy, Prabhupada mentions. Help one out of the clutches of illusion. So this is, even the impersonalists, they know this very well. Shankaracharya, he has spoken one verse that Prabhupada quoted several times about the Naristana Bhara Nabi Desham. He would tell his followers, Shankaracharya, Naristana Bharam, the Narya, as it says here, when one sees them, when he sees the thin, beautiful waist of the woman or the breasts, the beautiful bodies of the women, he has to always think, Naristana Bharam Nabi Desham Drishtva. Having seen it, the word here is used also, Didiksha, the same root, seeing. Drishtva Maga Mohave. Don't go into illusion. course, the impersonalists, they have a harder time because they have nothing higher, param drishtva. They don't get a higher, where are they going to find their higher taste? They simply have to constantly be thinking, oh, yes, I have to avoid. So they stay away. That's what their solution is. They cannot go near Maya. Somehow they're always afraid of Maya. They criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for dancing with the strict Mayavadis. This is something unheard of for the strict Mayavadis, dancing. Now it's become a fashion. Even the Mayavadis, they find their tedious speculations and their different adjustments of the Sanskrit language to be very tedious. Is what is it? It's just dry, 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 dry. Nim fall. It's like the bitter taste of the neem fruit. Of course, it's medicinal neem, but you don't find nectar in it. But the devotees, Premamru, Mukule, they are taking the taste of the buds of the mango, the juice of the mango fruits. Whereas the others are like kakachushe, crows, kakachushe, sucking the bitter neem fruits. Of course, we take neem, that's true. Even here it says that no one is attracted to a beautiful doll, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, even seeing the wooden form of a woman, he was praising Ramananda Roy with thousands of mouths, that especially when Pradyumna Mishra came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, you go to see Ramananda Roy, he knows all the conclusions. And Pradyumna Mishra was kind of blown out when he came there and he waited, and his secretary said, oh, Roy Ramananda, he is now engaged with some girls, training them how to dance and doing, he described, he's massaging them and all that. He was shocked when he came back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, I don't understand how Ramananda Roy, you told me to go hear Krishna Katha from him and he's massaging women. I don't get it. So Mahaprabhu said, that's okay for Ramananda Roy. No second person in the universe is capable of doing that. So then he went back very humbly. He could understand because he accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya said, even if I see the wooden form of a woman, my mind becomes agitated. We know that probably Chaitanya was so strict with Chota Haridas that he glanced at a girl when went to Madhavi Devi's house just to beg some rice. Mahaprabhu was seated taking nice prasadam. And the rice was uncommon rice, not found in that part, mostly from Bengal. So he asked Bhagavan Acharya, he said, this very nice prasadam, where did this rice come from? Of course, Mahaprabhu, he's all-knowing. He said, well, we got the rice from Chota Haridas. Oh, where did he get it? Oh, he begged it from Madhavi. Of course, Madhavi Devi was one of the four intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, her brother, and Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar, they're all intimate associates of Mahaprabhu, although we don't hear that much about Madhavi Devi. So we don't think, since she's an elderly lady, Prabhupada said that he glanced at a young girl. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then you tell Chota Haridas, he can never see me anymore. Everyone was very shocked because the rules are so strict for the sannyasis, not only for the impersonalists, but for the Vaishnavas. But in this age of Kali, then Prabhupada said, we must be strict, but you find that the sannyasis in Udupi, they still keep the women within so many feet, 10, 20, 30 feet. They cannot come close. Very rarely do they come close to maybe in the darshan, they ask some question. But generally speaking, these, and they're Vaishnavas in Udupi, but when they go, they have a raw bamboo stick. I think it's three sticks also, they're Vaishnavas. And they leave the stick, but there's no cloth on the stick. When they walk and they give the stick to their junior acharya sannyasi, they let go of it first. They don't even touch it at the same time with their junior acharya. What to speak of anyone else, they don't touch the stick. And there's always another person, a householder or someone, who keeps the ladies at a pretty good distance. So they're very, very strict. One should, as a sannyasi, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu probably said, no woman could come within 50 feet. And we don't think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was liable to fall down anytime soon. But still, he showed this example as the supreme example of renunciation. And when Prabhupada was giving sannyas in 76 especially, he said there were so many sannyasis were giving today we'll give you so many more sannyas. He said, some of them are doing nicely. He said, some of them are doing nice. He said, so sannyasis must be very strict. He tried to get very strong. Finally, in a purport in Hawaii, where he wrote that purport in, about the Gajendra, how he was fighting with the crocodile, the form of Maya, that the if one is the somehow victimized and he has to give up sannyas, still he should continue fighting with Maya. He should not give up. Somehow or other, go on. He didn't want to kick anyone out. He wanted them to stay on the boat of Krishna consciousness. Hari Chayana Varnanam. Hari Pada Potena, the boat of Krishna Katha. Somehow stay on that boat. Don't go away. It's all right. Now you're married. That's okay. It's strict. So the females should be shy. They don't like to hear that usually. Actually, when Prabhupada was in Hawaii, he gave one lecture, and he described how when he was young, that it was of great fashion that the Bengalis would go, and Prabhupada's mother wanted him to also go to England, but his father said, no, my son will not go there. He didn't want him to go become a lawyer or a big shot, get an education in London. No, no, he wanted Prabhupada to be his great Vaishnava. That's why he learned Mridanga. You know, and who could play sweeter Mridanga? Even when Prabhupada played that little, what he called the Dundubi bongo drum, so sweet and wonderful, and you can hear whatever Prabhupada would touch, anything would be very nice, even when he's just singing with no cartels. Very wonderful. So it was a fashion in those days to go to England and to ultimately marry a white wife. And Prabhupada said the sadhus would, and others, they would make fun and call that marrying a white elephant, because it requires so many big fat chapatis to eat and so many things. And Prabhupada was laughing. And then he said, so we have got so many white elephants. Prabhupada used to call all the devotees white elephants. He was kind of making a joke. Prabhupada had adhikar where he could joke like that and no ladies would ever take offense, never feel like their self-esteem was at risk. Somehow when others do it, it doesn't go over as well. And Prabhupada was, you know, just like when the lady came in front of Prabhupada and asked him why his head was shaved. He said, well, we keep a cool head. He said, better to keep a cool head and warm legs, because she had her legs exposed, you know, even she had to laugh. So Prabhupada was so charming like that. But this idea also in the purport about that somehow or other the Mohammedans introduced, even in our own ISKCON, we find that some well-known personalities are saying sometimes that, oh, this saris were introduced and dhotis were introduced. There was no such thing. We don't know that Krishna wore dhoti. But actually, it specifically says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, dhuti, even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says the word is used with the U, dhuti. The pronunciation is slightly different now, dhoti. When Sanatana Goswami had to go and change, it said he took a dhuti, D-H-U-T-I. Rather than a dhoti. So this idea that it's crept in somehow, that women used to go somehow, you know. No, the shyness is always there. Even in you read about the gopis and the manjaris, they act very coy and shy. And you see the ladies in Rajasthan around Vrindavan, sometimes you can't see their face, their whole head is covered. Very shy. And there was an instance that Prabhupada saw when he was on the train once, going from one city to another. And one girl was going to get married. She had her head covered, Hindu girl. But the others were laughing. Even they were laughing at her. And she got up and whacked him right in the face. And Prabhupada said, very good. You have done very good. Like that. He encouraged her. He thought it was great that she got up and just slapped her in the face, you know, for making fun of her. So this is the nature, something that becomes perverted, like the Taliban. They don't even want any music in the entire country. They shoot the women if they find them, you know, going outside their house or something, you know. Meanwhile, they're total hypocrites, because you find even Bin Laden is watching pornography or something like that, but they're not strict. Had an inside, anyone who had a house, a nice, any kind of house, they had a antar body and the bahir body. The antar body is the inside of the house. and that the ladies would stay inside. Just like when Nityananda came with his group, they came to that Ramchandra Khan's house, and they just were trying to find a place to stay, and he was such a great offender, aparati, that he sent his assistant out and told him to go away. He didn't want to have anything to do with Nityananda. He said, tell him to go away and go to a cow shed. My place is too small. You know, he just wanted to stay in the Durga Mandap, which was actually the outside of his house. He said, no, don't tell him to go away. And then he even had the place purified because Nityananda had been there. So, and then just a few days later, the Muslims came and killed a cow. And Nityananda actually laughed and said, yes, this place is not fit for me, or it may be fit for cow killers, you know. And sure enough, within a few days, cow killers came and it killed a cow right at his house and actually molested all the women and demolished the entire town. But this is what happens when somebody offends Gaur Nitai. One of the things that may happen. So not recommended. But Prabhupada mentions there that the ladies would stay on the inside of the house, and even up till recently, and even now, sometimes you find that he said the householder was only supposed to see his own wife, even maybe early in the morning and evening. He's finished with his work, then he has dinner. And, you know, if you go to a respectable Hindu house, they feed you, and you try to put your hand over your plate. The ladies are serving out the kids sometimes, helping them. And they always, of course, keep. They have to make a lot, because if they want to eat, they have to make sure everyone's completely filled, akanta, up to the throat. You know, sometimes you don't want to eat that much, but they're kind of forcing you. This is the hospitality. It's extreme. And you can see, I saw Prabhupada even serving out to one of the chief ministers in Bengal one time. As soon as they would drink a little water, pour it in like that. Cooking and like that. Rarely do the men cook. We've seen the women cook, and they feed you. But they're always shy. They bring it out to go back in the kitchen. They don't sit. They sit in the corner of another room, or they sit in the back. So this is being upheld to some degree still. Not always. It's definitely Kali Yuga creeping in big time, even in India. We know that. But this is what Prabhupada is putting forward, this Vedic culture. It says here, in a few shlokas later, that what they were saying, that these ladies, although they were not Sanskrit scholars, they were talking about Krishna, and he's the absolute. And sometimes they just wanted to hear about his Vishnu incarnations. But whatever they were saying may not have been in pure Sanskrit, as even then, still they're considered greater scholars than, you know, what you find in the Upanishads, just like Madhyasoda, Trayocho Upanishad Bhishcha, Svatta Yogas. There's a verse there that describes Shastaptvatai, that the same Madhyasoda, the same person that is now being drinking the breast milk of Mother Soda is being praised by the Upanishads and like that, and all the Vedas. But the Vedas generally deal with the impersonal aspect of Krishna, so that when we hear the devotional talking of, whether it's the gopis, these ladies in Hastinapur, is considered, even the bees. There's that verse by Rupa Goswami, Vrindavanam Divyalata Paritam Latashta Pushpaspari Dagabachin, they mentioned in the Anchalila, and it's from Vidugda Madhava, I believe, that these bees are singing, and there's these creepers in Vrindavan, creepers, beautiful flowers, and they're so wonderful, the smell and the breezes of Vrindavan, and buzzing are these bees all around. And whatever they're humming is sweeter than any of the hymns of the Vedas. This is how Krishna is hearing it. And so similarly, these ladies speaking is like that. It's like the wonderful murmuring of these bees, a very wonderful sound is coming out, and they're making wonderful auspicious sounds, and they may also be playing instruments like the gopis. We don't know. So there's a wonderful verse also in Adi Lila, Upetya Pati Sundari Tati Bir Abir Vyarchita Smitan Kura. The smitankura, smita, the same word is used here for smiling. Smit smit ekshana, glancing with shy smile. So in that verse, it's actually describing Vrindavan, and it's from the Stavamala. So it's the Keshavastakam, and it says that when these ladies, the gopis rather, when they see Krishna coming with Balaram and all the coward boys back from the forest, they get up on the roofs also, and they glance at him, they glance at the path where Krishna and Balaram are walking with manners of dancing glances and gentle smiles, this smita. The corners of his eyes wander also around their bodies and like that. This is a very nice verse. Upetya pati sundari, the sundari, the gopis. So this is something that they do. The gopis, the ladies of Hastinapur. This is so the ladies are not meant to be pushing forward. This is not the Vedic system. And shyness, this is what really captures men. I mean, in my own experience, I would say it seems to be an attractive feature. Sometimes you find women, they're very aggressive, and it's not very wonderful. I mean, nowadays the men are kind of impotent, so sometimes the women become the temple presidents. They have to be very, very aggressive and very heavy, and you know, it's blasting people, and it's just not a very nice thing. Unfortunately, the men have become like that in Kali Yuga, so what can we say? And I was going to mention Well, there's so many things in here about the human civilization, the sages of India, freeing oneself. One is supposed to think of his own wife, even though he may be attached. But it said any attachment, illicit or illicit, is not good. Any attachment, even to your own wife. Like we know the Chanakya Pandit and the Vedic aphorism, Matrivat Paridarishu, or one should not, it's like butter and fire, Nandagni, Agni, the woman, like the fire, the man is like... Pramada, the woman is called Pramada, literally means mother, means to go mad. So the woman can make men mad, actually, with lust if they want to. It's not hard. They turn it on when they want to. Sometimes they boast about it. And this is like something all-pervading in Kali Yuga, that women, you can't sell anything. You have to have a gorgeous, my baby woman just flashing everything she can for all it's worth. And then, you know, oh, wow, maybe I should buy that, you know, that... They get to attract your attention somehow. Buy this. They attract with sex. And there's always this illusory promise. So the Bhagavatam, in several places, it has a krimivid bashma nishtantam. This terminology is krimivid bashma nishtantam. That the body, whether it's your wife's body, anybody, one should meditate. Kvedam tucham kalevaram. It is kalevaram, means it possesses an end. Kalevaram, kala, will end it. And it's tucham, tuchavat. Just like the six Goswamis, they were living, we doubt they were living like big kings, but still they gave up whatever opulence they had. Sada tuchavat, just like it was totally insignificant, something you don't even notice it, like a piece of a lint. They gave up taktvatornamashesha mandalapati. They were in the circle of the leaders of the entire human society, the king of Bengal. And Bengal was a big chunk of India. And they were the ministers of the king. They had their own palaces. Anything they wanted, they had. And what to speak of Yamunacharya? He says, I spit on it. I spit on it. He was a king. He had so many wives. But he wrote that, Navanava Rasa Dhammanujata Rantamasa. Now that I'm getting a newer taste all the time, and I don't take this old taste of sex life at all. I spit on it. My mouth curls and I spit on it. So one should think, krimivid bashma nishnantam, kvedam tucham, kalevaram. This body, which is so insignificant, and one should think, even his own wife's body, that it's meant to be stool, creamy, or worms, creamy vid. Means it will become stool or worms or ashes. Krimivid bashma means ashes. Either it will be burnt or sometimes thrown in the street, whatever happens to it, eaten by animals, eaten by worms, or just
out and out just burned, it'll still become ashes. That's what's settled. So this is one of the ways that the sadhus, the devotees, any sadhus are meant to think that the body is just a temporary thing. It's made out of earth, fire, water, air. It will become ashes, or from dust, it will become dust. It came from avyakta dini bhutani, avyakta madhyani bharata. Krishna gives so many nice meditations of avyakta dini bhutani, avyakta madhyani bharata. Somehow or other, the body has appeared from the avyakta. In the middle, madhyani, it exists, and then avyakta dini bhutani, avyakta madhyani bharata, avyakta nidananyeva. And in the end, it goes back to the avyakta. Avyakta. Therefore, Arjuna, why should you lament for anybody? Say those who are pragya, those who are intelligent, they don't lament over anybody, whether he's living or dead. But it helps a lot when everyone is follows the prescriptions of the great seers, the sages, as Prabhupada is very nicely describing here in this purport, and there's many, many other purports that similarly describe fire and the butter. So one has to always keep as far away from the fire as possible if he doesn't want to melt, because it's hard to be unmelted once you're melted. So, you know, wind down if anybody has comments.
Well, I'll ask you a question, Prabhuji. Thank you for the lovely class. Prabhupada was criticized.
We just offended that woman. She's muting us.
Sorry.
Prabhupada was criticized when he made the adaptation for allowing women to live in our ashrams, which wasn't previously done, to my understanding. And but what is the practical application of the shyness for women? And you were saying that nowadays, you know, women are their presidents and they're giving classes and so on. So how do we sort of take today's verse in context with practical application?
Well, we have examples. So I mean, yeah, we have examples. You know, and probably when the devotees in Henry Street were upset, the brahmacharis were saying, well, we don't want to chant in the temple with the women. You know, probably said, well, what would they do? If they're so agitated, they can go to out in the middle of the woods, because otherwise they're going to go outside and see the Karmi women anyway. He gave that argument. So he said that they can't. You know, one time, in L.A., later on, there was the instance where some of the brahmacharis wanted to quit working at the press, almost around the time of the big Chaitanya Charita rush, you know. There was a lot of interaction things, but just time. Radha Bala actually went in to see Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, the brahmacharis stated, you know, they like that. And Prabhupada looked up at him and said, yes, they want peace. He said it in a very disdainful way. They want peace. In other words, we give up a certain section. I mean, we don't, you know, I heard that Kirtananda, we don't have to use his name in vain, but he used to try to entice a good friend of mine. He wanted him to head out a women's party, but that devotee was becoming so agitated just with all these women. He threw the keys and gave Kirtananda back the keys to the van, said, I'm not doing that. Sorry. He did it for a week or two. And then then Kirtananda came back and said, oh, Prabhu, you know, even, you know, for Krishna consciousness, we can give up our own Krishna consciousness. He actually said that. So we, you know, we take it to a certain point. We're not idiots, you know, to follow somebody like Kirtananda. But some people did, many people. But so it probably gave practical thing. Oh, if they wanted to go to the forest, the brahmacharis, you know. But at the same time, he said you have to keep a distance. He also one time said, Kirtananda actually told me when they walked into, he was right next to Prabhupada when they walked into that Avalon, was it the Avalon Ballroom? They had the big Mantra Rock Festival with the Big Brother were raging, you know. These people were wild. They're the biggest sense gratifiers in the world. And as soon as Prabhupada walked in, he said, this is no place for a brahmachari. Kirtananda is the only one who heard that, you know, but he said, this is no place for a brahmachari. He said, so Prabhupada said, there's no house, there's no building big enough for men and, you know, for brahmacharis and women. And you know, he said that one time also. But, you know, we accommodate. But it's better to avoid. You know, yeah, his godbrothers criticized that. But now they understood they had to also make adjustments. They came 30, 40 years after Prabhupada, and then they realized, hey, well, you can't try to enforce those rules. It's true. The Gaudiya Mathi was never women. Women, all the women were married. if you got married. I was on a morning walk with Prabhupada, and there was, in those days, some Bengalis in Mayapur. And this one guy, he was one of the first Bengali devotees, Adi Guru, and his daughter was about 10 or 11. And the father, Adi Guru, who just actually lived a pretty long time, he was taking care of Prabhupada's old hut by the gate in Mayapur for a long, long time. And he became very hunched over, and he died 4 or 5 years ago. So Adi Guru wasn't on the walk, but Jai Pataka said to Prabhupada that Adi Guru's daughter wants to get married, you know. And, of course, you need a dowry. You need a dowry if you're a father. And here he's living in a temple. I mean, it's hard enough when you're poor, but he's living in a temple. And it's a big thing to get your daughter married. The Prabhupada said, yes, we can give, you know, I forget if he said 200 rupees or 500 rupees. I mean, it was actually pretty insignificant. But for that echelon of, you know, poor Bengali villagers, it was something. And then he said, she may marry, because there weren't really many eligible Bengalis there, of course. And Prabhupada said, she may marry in, remember, I was surprised, Prabhupada said, she may marry in the temple or outside. It doesn't matter. But the thing was, you can understand, Prabhupada thought she should get married. You know, Prabhupada's mother wanted to kill herself because her sister wasn't married at 12 or something like that. It's a big thing to get your daughter married, and she shouldn't just go out and become crazy, but she should be attached to some man. It's like
inconceivable in the West. They tried to get young girls married to old guys. Never worked out. Different. It happened in other places. They tried it. Didn't work out. Maybe it worked out somewhere, but you'd have to look for that example.
Just like we know.
Yes? Questions?
Oh. No, I'm go ahead.
I was going to say that, add to that, Prabhupada did mention polygamy, and then when you find practically, I know two exact letters you can read where one was Brisha Kapi. He was president in Washington, D.C. in 75 or 6, and he wanted to get another wife. Prabhupada said, no, we're not for increasing sense gratification. If he wants another wife, he can move out of the temple. He cannot be president. And then Bhagavan wanted he was a big shot in France, everybody knows. And he wanted to take a second wife, albeit she was maybe 2 feet taller than him. But Prabhupada said, no, you cannot do that. We're not increasing sense gratification. Just really, you know. So although in theory we read things like about astrology and, you know, how every gentleman should know science, like that. But then you read letters where Prabhupada said, don't even see the face of an astrologer. You know, my Guru Maharaj was a great astrologer. He gave it up, you know. So we have to have some intelligence to see. Do we want to spend our whole life doing astrology when Prabhupada just poo-pooed it, and, you know, for the most part, although he had his chart done when he was a kid, baby. And then again, you know, he said, let's have some fun. We'll see what the astrologer says. But, you know, generally he would discourage these things. Never encourage anybody to get, you know, something.
Why? He didn't try to...
The only thing you'll find throughout letters where Prabhupada was, when he was still enforcing marriage, was that the boy should be older. He would say the boy should be. He didn't say go do their charts to see if they're compatible. He says the boy should be older. Of course, he finally threw the towel and gave that up. So they were all breaking up. He didn't want to be part of it. He said they can get married, live outside, work. So that's there, all that things. But have to be, you know,
there's a
lot of details and there's a lot of ways to adjust them.
I just heard that there's some devotees live around where I live, and they go to Hyderabad because the lady is from Hyderabad. And when they go there in the ISKCON temple, there's hundreds of devotees. None of the women dance. None of them go Harinam. Now, I really can't say there's anywhere else in ISKCON, even in India, where that's a fact. I mean, women go Harinam, women dance in the temple. And that place is super strict, women. But that wasn't Prabhupada's standard. If he were there, he might say why they're not dancing. Or he might just go for it and just say, okay, they're not dancing. You don't know. But, you know, they've opted to be very strict. Or the guru there, who's actually an Englishman, he's encouraged them to do like this, or discouraged them from doing. You know, they're just very, very shy in that sector.
I got a question.
They find all kinds of things going on.
Did you want to answer? Okay.
Oh, I just wanted to express my appreciation for your class. A friend of mine, Radharani Rupini, works in postpartum section of the hospital where they deliver babies. And society's become so, so degraded. Just women expose themselves and everything's just gone downhill so horribly.
She talked about on here that not one woman that she ever saw was married or something.
Well, 90% of them. And so this confirms what Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, that the chastity of women causes the whole breakdown of human society. And anyway, thank you for the class. Thank you.
Right. You could talk. I thought maybe I was giving class tomorrow, but I didn't really look over so many things I would have.
But, yeah, you know, a lot of things come to my mind.
Anyway.
Hey, Doctor, did you want to say?
Yeah, Ramananda, why is the volume, why is the audio changing back and forth?
I don't know. I can't tell from my end.
Yeah, see, you were echoing, now you're not. Are you away from the mic and then going? See, there's this echo. Anyway, you know, these Muslims, they get extreme with women with these burqas and whatnot, but it seems like the sari is the perfect compromise. The women are covered. You know, they're not agitating anyone. And the other point I wanted to ask Pushkar Prabhu, I'm reading in Bhagavatam and also in the Ramayana about all these sages, and they're in the forest with their wives, which is kind of interesting. There was a lot of emphasis on renunciation and, you know, detaching ourselves from these things. Whereas, you know, we read in the Vedas a lot of times the sages are practicing austerity sometimes for a long time, and then they're having children, and they have a wife, whatever. Could you say something about that?
Well, even with, was it Drona and Dara, and they did 12,000 celestial years, and, you know, the parents of Krishna, probably even says that one should just want to go back to Krishna Loka and not try to get Krishna as a son in the material world. You know, it's pretty stark, heavy duty. You know, we know Atri Muni was doing standing on one leg, and his wife was there, and was it Anasuya? And then he wanted a son that would be Krishna, would be God, but he wasn't sure who God was. So then Vishnu appeared on Garuda, and Brahma and Shiva all appeared, and other demigods, because, you know, he didn't know who he wanted. But he was doing austerities. But that's minimized, actually, by Prabhupada, saying that one shouldn't even want to be, like, have Krishna appear in the material world as his own son. He should rather go back and be with Krishna. So, yeah, they do that. There's so many instances like that. But sometimes they don't. Markandeya Rishi, for instance, he lived through the whole devastation of the universe, but you don't find that he had a wife. They don't always have a wife. A lot of times they don't.
I didn't understand the point why Prabhupada would say don't desire Krishna, to have Krishna the son in the material world.
Do you remember reading that? Do you remember reading that?
No.
I read it recently. You can read it. It's in those first few chapters that Prabhupada translated in 10th canto.
Well, but help me understand it then, because
yeah, I don't claim to understand it. I mean, they had the Adhikara to get Krishna as their son, but Prabhupada actually says in the purport, one shouldn't do like this. It's really, I was like shocked when I read it. I read it recently again, but I mean, I couldn't find it in an instance. Maybe I could, but if anyone's out there looking on the folio, they could find it.
It's probably,
let me ask you another question. Someone else, go ahead. I've asked a lot.
It's probably because we're in Kali Yuga, and if, as you did alluded to, Pushkar Prabhu, that in India things are going down, and women are not dressing in saris, and you know, they're doing a lot of different things that were going on before. So in Kali Yuga, it's better to probably just tiaga the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that has to do with getting Krishna as your son, but I kind of see a little bit of a link. But you know, it is. Kind of a, you know, a little bit amazing statement, but I've seen it there, actually. I have to read it, and I'll get back to you on it. I'm sure you'll find it if you look for it. I mean, I am not that great at researching the folio. I mean, I'm pretty good at it, you know, if I have time, but just to find it on a you know, Madama Han's the kind of guy who could find it pretty quickly, but maybe. It'd take him even 5-10 minutes. Or I might take me 15, but, you know, you can find it there. It's just an interesting statement.
Well, many times.
I was thinking that, excuse me, Nahart, that in this age, the verse that came to my mind was the one in fifth chapter, the first canto, where Narada Muni's talking to Vyasadeva about they won't care for the prohibitions. They'll just. So for us, if we thought about having Krishna for a son, most likely it would be contaminated with other thoughts also.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it could be unclear, but almost it seems like you wouldn't think they'd probably be criticizing Madhya Soda or not Vasudev and Devaki, but in a previous life they were praying to have Krishna, and he does mention it in that purport. But I forgot if it was Drona Dara or it was Aditi when they were, but whoever they were before, he mentions it, not as Madhya Soda and Nanda, but in their previous life, they were praying like that for so many lives. You know, they became like, she became the mother of Vamana, you know, like that, Prishni Garba.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you a question. Many times we read that a woman, she, as a young girl, she's under the protection of her parents, and then later she gets married, and then she should be under
specifically
protection.
His father, Pita Rakshati Komare. Doesn't say.
Okay, got it. Father, and then son,
Bartha,
the husband, and then son later on. But what would our position be now practically in our society if some women don't want to get married? That's just not their inclination. Is Prabhupada making any statements on that?
Yeah, Prabhupada had to deal with that, and you know, we've had these giant conversations over the last 30, 40 years, but that, you know, Prabhupada's mood was, you know, his mood really, he did mention the polygamy, and that if a woman is not even that attractive, she could be a second or third, fourth wife, something like that. Therefore, there's always more women, but actually there's less women now because they're killing them in abortion with sonogram, finding out if they're women, and they kill 100% girls, no boys in India. That's another thing. Now they're short of girls in China and India. That's a whole other paradigm. But, you know, he would say that the women should just take Krishna as their husband and just take shelter of the temple. But he didn't want really single women, especially young women. In those days of Prabhupada, there weren't that many older women. Nowadays, you find senior Vaishnava women, Prabhupada disciples, whose husbands or whatever, who knows, died or they're separated. And they live in Vrindavan. They don't cause any problem at all. But he specifically wrote to the management in Vrindavan in 75, 6, like that, 7, spoke about it, that he didn't want single women, young women, especially with just kids with no husband or something like that, living in there. And we see that now. Some of these Russian women have become prostitutes. You know, they go there as brahmacharinis, and they wind up, you know, selling themselves to make money, and they have, you know, it's really amazing stuff going on. It's totally crazy. You know, and then you find in Mayapur, there's all kinds of, you know, second generation kids riding motorcycles, half running people over. You don't have any sadhana, they're just there zipping around and smoking ganja. It's like, you know, Prabhupada got upset when he saw Yadubar and Vishakha reading together. They were reading their devotion outside the lotus building, and Prabhupada said, "What are they doing?" He asked Bhavananda. He said, "Prabhupada, they're reading the nectar devotion." He said, "Doesn't matter. I don't care." But they're married. No. He didn't want them even seen in public. And they were married reading nectar devotion. Now you see people holding hands like it was a rock concert or something. It's totally, just because it goes on doesn't mean that Prabhupada okays it, you know. So like I mentioned this before, like we have some paintings that Prabhupada didn't approve of at all, and we're still printing them on fronts of books covers, you know. And Prabhupada said, "No, we don't want long hair. Don't show Krishna as a hippie." Although it does describe even that he had at one stage, I think when Krishna's in the Poganda age, he has really long hair down, way down his back. But Prabhupada didn't want to show that. If we're followers of Prabhupada, he didn't want dogs. There's dogs all over Mayapur.
Which guy found that?
Found that reference?
Yeah, it was in 10.3.37. I put it up there on the text. It says, one should be careful to understand to get Krishna as one's son must undergo great austerities. If we want to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become one of us in the material world, this requires great penance. But if we want to go back to Krishna, oh, that's all that I put. Let me get the other. And he quotes some Sanskrit, 4:9 from the Bhagavad Gita. Deham Purna Jana Janma. We must understand him to love him, though love only, through love only, we can easily go back home, back to Godhead. So that, I thought that may be it. The verse, it says, Krishna says, O sinless mother Devaki, after the expiry of 12,000 celestial years in which you constantly contemplate me within the core of your heart with great faith, devotion, and austerity, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of all bestowers of benediction, I appeared in that same form, Krishna, as you asked me to take from you the benediction you desire. Is that, do you think, where it was?
Yeah, that's it, huh?
Yeah, well,
but the other part is the one, you know, the, you read the purport. That, read that again. Say it again.
We should be careful to understand that get Krishna as one's son, one must undergo great austerity. If we want to get the Supreme Person of Godhead to become one of us in the material world, this requires great penance. But if we want to go back to Krishna, we need only to understand him and love him. Through love only, we can easily go
right,
back to Godhead. Sri
yeah,
Chaitanya.
Yeah.
Prema Pumartha Mohan.
Love that's what God. I was thinking of. That's the quote.
Yeah, so that I posted the verse up there if you wanted. That was 10:3:37:58.
Anything else there? Any comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class, and I certainly agree everything you know you're saying, but just for the balance, of course, you mentioned too, I think, in a class a little bit that you know, in Kali Yuga, you know, women not doing their duties and not really being acting as a woman supposed to act. But the same goes for men, too. Many women have to protect themselves. You know, they're not protected anymore by men. You know, and we know how it is. So that's the qualities naturally develops, you know, those tough qualities, whatever. Women have to be sometimes a man. So
right.
It's both ways goes in Kali Yuga.
Quick question to Madan. Madan Prabhu, just how did you find that
so fast? I'm curious what your technique was to find that. How did you search out that verse so quickly without a lot of details?
I got lucky. I just put
not
in
much luck
query.
In the age of Kali.
I put in the query as your son. That's all, and I put quotes around it in the query block, as your son, with quotes around it, and looked in the 10th canto.
Right, I mentioned the third chapter, I just didn't know the verse.
You said the beginning chapters, you didn't say
yeah, which. Yeah, I said probably third, but yeah, you found it, that's good. I knew you'd find
good.
It.
Sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah. I would have put 12,000 celestial years because I remember that part too. Drona, Dar, and all that stuff.
Yeah, whatever you got. If you just got something, you
yeah,
it's
something. Yeah, I'm sure Narahari's good at that. He's just asking. You know, I'm sure he's good at it.
Let's go to Smadhan.
Hey, Sukhan is coming up there. So far on the 12th, I think the 12th of July. You know,
to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Really? Where's she staying?
Well, Sukhara.
walked out.
Sukra?
She went out. She was here.
Some details on that.
With Lillian. It might be before the 12th. But about 12th, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Call me after class and tell me.
Yeah, well,
tell me the plan.
Yeah, it's around the 12th.
Okay.
All right, I'll let you.
Sir, for who? Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't tell you were not prepared for this class. I guess you just got all inside of you.
Well, I'm familiar with the subject, but yeah, I could have done a lot better. All right.
He was preparing for 40 years for this class. Come on.
Yeah, this is my primo class. I hope, you know, you could publicize it in at least the front page of the New York Times. Maybe the Wall Street Journal.
I'll see what we can do.
Okay. Hardball, I'm signing off. I got some guests here.
Thanks,
sir. Thank you for attending.
I do have one announcement. We made some changes on the schedule. So tomorrow, Mother Urmila is giving class. She's going to give on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we'll look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. All right. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.